You're listening to the Mighty 690 KGGF here on this finally Friday. I hope everybody is doing well out there today. And joining us on the line, as he does this time every month, we have Representative Jim Kelly. Sir, good morning. How are you doing today?
Good morning. I am doing great on a nice Friday morning.
Absolutely. Hey, it is nice out there. 60 degrees out there. I love when it gets this time of year because I love these cool, crisp mornings. And with me being a big dude, not a fan of 95, so 60 is good.
It's your kind of weather.
Exactly. It is my kind of weather. Well, sir, just a few things that you'd like to discuss this morning and that we were talking about off air. And one of the things you did want to discuss was Governor Laura Kelly just recently put out an executive order. And could you kind of tell us what was in that executive order and kind of your thoughts on it?
Yeah, I will. There's an executive order that was issued really just this week for a two-week statewide ban on COVID-19-related evictions and foreclosures. And this is an extension of a ban that was put in place at the time the early emergency orders were issued after we had the stay-in-place order began back in April. And so it prevents a landlord or a financial institution from either evicting or the financial institution from foreclosing on a renter or borrower that is behind because of loss of income on COVID-19. So it's for 2 weeks, and in the conversations around the order, the governor had said she hopes in that period of time there will be some COVID relief come into play from the U.S. Congress. And so it's 2 weeks, but it didn't come in without its controversy. The State Finance Council, which has to review these executive orders, they can't rescind them. They can only comment on them. And there were quite a few comments on the fact that it takes the burden of the rental payments or the loan payments off of the individual if they can prove that they can't pay because of loss of income related to COVID, and places it back on a landlord or a financial institution that has had those orders in place since April. So there are a lot of landlords and this is as big a burden on them, and it's COVID-related. And the governor has mentioned that she hoped they could do something for landlords, but the time would be pretty short if this order went off. I mean, my thought, there's good points to it, and there's bad. And in some cases, I mean, the good, it helps someone that is still off work because of this. The bad, it puts some undue pressure really on the landlords that still have to take care of taxes or whatever else, upkeep on the property, and no income to do it. So it was somewhat of a controversial order when it went in, the two-week extension, I mean, is short, so that makes it where we may be looking at the end of the tunnel. But it's just one more piece of different little types of orders or actions that have fallen into play that are extremely unusual in this COVID event. The other portion of that order or in orders issued was to extend the length of time that trucks carrying personal protective equipment, food, or whatever related to supplying for COVID can avoid certain permits and weight restrictions so they can move across the state faster. And so that's a positive one. And And some of these things, like the weight restriction or maybe some modifications to it, could well, be put in place after COVID because they have not created the problems that people have always anticipated they would. So we'll have to see. Kind of like telemedicine on the healthcare side, it was having a hard time getting underway when COVID hit. I mean, it had been kind of just barely limping along, and COVID has propelled it into the forefront. And so I think we'll see a new, some new avenues open because of the COVID. So, yeah, interesting time.
Absolutely. COVID has made everything just kind of, it's a different world, it seems like. And another thing that you did want to, well, just kind of quick hit about, because these applications did start on Wednesday, so we're not sure if there's going to be actually any funds left over. But there was a new CARES Act that came out, and again, applications did start on Wednesday.
They did. There was $130 million available in Kansas. And it was available to support businesses impacted by COVID. And it was also businesses that procure personal protective equipment. They manufacture it, food systems for groceries and food banks, small business working capital, a lot of broadband connectivity type grants to try to spread broadband across the state, higher education, IT grants, because another thing that COVID's done, it's certainly brought online education to the forefront. It had been in the forefront for some colleges like Fort Hays and some others for a number of years, but it's moved into the forefront clear down through kindergarten now. So a lot of grants available. This did open Wednesday noon. You look at $130 million spread over 105 counties. It's going through the Kansas Department of Commerce. That's a little over $10 million per county. If it's, and I'm not sure that it's spread that way, but I mean, you look and you get up into some of the counties, the bigger ones would probably be more. That would go pretty fast, but it is available. It opened on a portal at the Kansas Department of Commerce, and it's Kansas Commerce, all lowercase and together, .gov/COVID-relief. And so that can be looked at. This is going through the Department of Commerce, so it's not one where you go to your local bank or anything else, but it is something that is available. And in Montgomery County, you could get more information on it from like the Montgomery County Action Council. They have been involved in learning about it and getting some information out. So they could help provide you with a little bit more information.
All right, and one last thing we're going to go over here because we got about 7 minutes left or so. But elections came up, a couple of weeks ago, and we just found out that earlier this week that our Virgil Peck had won the Republican side of the 15th for District 15, which was extremely close, only 23 votes separating him and State Senator Dan Goddard. And but there were a lot of close elections across the state, were there not, sir?
Yes, there were. I mean, and that election was very close and very hard fought. And I'd personally like to congratulate both Senator Goddard and newly elected Senator Peck for the race and to be able to get a good turnout of voters and end up when you get down to the end and have all the provisional votes counted and everything. 23 votes separated them. That is a close election.
Mm-hmm.
Around the state, there were a couple of elections that were down to also kind of tied to the end. One up in the House race up in the Kansas City, Kansas area, ended up separated by 6 votes. There were some others that were separated in that same range of maybe 100 or less votes. So it was a time that in some areas there were very good turnouts, and in others, I mean, there was a House race, another one up in the Kansas City, Kansas area, that the total count of the vote, and each district in the state, each House district in the state is a little over 22,000 people. There were less than 1,000 votes cast, with the winner getting, I think, right around 750 votes. So, I mean, there were some that were close, and like Senator Goddard and Senator-elect Peck, and there were some that were just close because hardly anyone voted. And so it's a real, it's a real contrast around the state. But there were a lot of close elections, a lot of highly contested elections, and so it'll be interesting to see what November brings, when those that now have Republican-Democratic matchups, particularly around the cities, what those turn out like, and will there be a number of other close ones. But anyway, in our area, I think the voter turnout, when you look at the percentage, you'd say, boy, that's low. But when you look at the past elections, it was really pretty decent. So, and of course, the Senator Peck and Goddard race covered three counties, Montgomery, Neosho, and Labette. So all down here, and all were races that drew a lot of voters. That one drew a lot of people out. So it was an interesting election to watch, and one that was a little different because, COVID also impacted elections, mm-hmm. and it impacted forums and knocking on doors and a whole bunch of different things, and relied on a lot of new electronic and social media more than ever during that election cycle. So it'll be interesting to see what the general election does.
Absolutely.
Particularly in a year with the presidential.
Absolutely. I'm pretty sure every year, anytime there's a year with a presidential election, I'm pretty sure the numbers go up a little bit than it would be, say, like an off year, like, say, 2018, when there's not a presidential election.
Right. Yes.
All right.
It does.
All right. Well, sir, I appreciate you coming on today. Always a lot of great insight from you. And hopefully we can get you back into studio at some point, because obviously we love seeing you face to face. But we do appreciate you spending just a few minutes of your time this morning with us.
Well, hopefully in September, get a chance to do that, and hope you have a great weekend, and that on this Friday, that everything that any challenges that you had to begin the day, it's all perfect to end the day.
Yes, exactly. Well, again, sir, I appreciate you coming on today, and we look forward to seeing you next month.
Thanks very much. Have a great weekend.
You as well, sir. That is Representative Jim Kelly, and again, we appreciate him coming on today. It's always a pleasure to talk to him the third Friday of each month. So we're going to go ahead and take a break, but when we come back on the other side, we'll have some news from Fox and also some local news from Jared Sleppy. And then starting around 8:10, 8:15, we will have Gary and Charles Skank from Skank Insurance. You're listening to the Mighty 690 KGGF here on this Friday morning.